This conference will.
Oh, we're being recorded?
We are recording, yeah. So watch out what you say.
That's exactly right. Well, listen, the not-for-profits is just a vertical market for ultimately getting to consumers. And that's essentially everything is the same once you get past the initial stage of contacting a not-for-profit and having them participate. Is the whole goal is to get this product into as many hands as of as many people as we can and link those consumers to children in need, and that's sort of what our mission is. The thing that's unique about the not-for-profit industry these days is that it's a very desperate situation in most cases. The whole global economy has really crippled the old model of fundraising, not-for-profit, sort of the charity model. I mean, it's always been a problem. It's always been a challenge to work the charity model because you're only as good as your last fundraiser. And that's a very unsustainable way to run a not-for-profit, but it's the way that most of them operate. And so they're always doing charity events. They're always doing fundraisers. They're always soliciting more funds. And but again, with a downturn in the economy, a lot have seen their funding become, again, very erratic and unsustainable. So I think overall the fundraising industry is, for the first time, kind of open to looking at new opportunities. Within the not-for-profit umbrella, or under that, of course, is ministry. And, you know, that's all these churches and organizations that have the same issues. They're all looking for funding for their missions programs and for whatever ministry that they are doing. It's all charity-driven. And so there seems to be at least an openness to look. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, the economic times we live in, they're a little more desperate, and they're being forced to think outside of the box. But it's a big paradigm shift for ministry organizations to consider the marketplace as a viable option for fundraising. If you've seen the presentation that I did at HIM and the Pastor Cheon, who came on after me, I mean, he basically spoke to that issue that a lot of times, you know, the church or ministry think that somehow there's some contamination when you talk about marketplace. But there's a lot that are starting to realize that that's not the case. That the marketplace does provide an incredible sustainable solution for their funding needs, and why not? The presentation that I did at HIM, I incorporated some segments from a book that I read, and actually one of the speakers at this conference was the author of the book. It was called The Seven Mountain Mantle, and it was a prophetic word that was given to Lauren Cunningham, who started YWAM, Youth With Mission, as well as Bill Bright, who started and founded Campus Crusade, on the very same day that they were to meet. And both of them received the same word and were instructed to tell each other. And so there was something very significant about that, and that prophecy of basically what it is you go to the pillars of society and you take them back for Christ, and that is the family, you know, the government, the media, the business world, community, education. You know, you take these, you conquer these, and you change nations by doing that. And so one of the issues is how do you go into the business community and work a marketplace ministry? So it's really a kingdom-minded business venture. This is exactly what the church out of Kiev was looking for. Again, just like in the U.S., Europe may have even been hit harder by the economic turmoil that started in 2008, because all of Europe is bankrupt. You know, they're looking for ways out of saving entire nations over there. And of course, that impacts employment and long-term social programs and government-funded social programs. So anyway, everybody is desperately looking for these new ways of raising funds. And in the case of the church out of Kiev, they had recognized that the marketplace was really the only solution that they could tap into. And they were very open. In fact, he solicited me, the pastor from that church. They found me through one of our associates, asked if I would come to Kiev and sit down with them and create a strategy around using Manatech as their marketplace venture for raising, you know, new sustainable funding for all of their ministry outreaches. The unique thing about the guys in Kiev is, again, they were way ahead of the curve. The problem that they were finding is trying to find, and this is what you'll find out there, is ministries are willing, I think, at least a lot of them, to consider it, but they want a reason bigger than just the money to connect with. Now, in Kiev, they were all about the money, but what they had found is that especially, you know, trying to leverage their biggest asset, which is their people, into a marketplace venture, pretty much limited the activity to a network marketing direct sale type of venture, which was fine with them. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to leverage their people asset, their support organization. But what they found in the direct sale / network marketing industry was not necessarily congruent with their ministry in terms of what they felt the basic DNA was, if you will. A lot of organizations, it is about ego and pride and manipulation and cars and stars and promotions and, you know, all these things that the basic church community says are not the things that are important in life. And yet a lot of these organizations, it was all about that. And so they found a little bit of a hard time finding congruency between sort of their culture within the church community and, you know, a legitimate business opportunity. And so when they found us and we met, it was a perfect scenario because we're all about meeting the needs of people and bringing value into their lives through our technology, addressing a legitimate problem that exists not only in the lives of the children of the world, and this whole issue of malnutrition, but also in the lives of all their consumers, all their support organization. Everybody has a legitimate need for what we're doing. And because we can link that need directly to the needs of children, which is one of almost every ministry's major outreaches is somehow taking care of children, it was very congruent for them. And so that worked well in Kiev, and it was the perfect scenario for attaching, you know, their whole ministry to a marketplace venture. And, of course, when they sent out, you know, sort of an invitation to participate and they had an overwhelming response, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that of what the church can represent they're doing in the marketplace. Because, again, we come full circle because of what we do for the children, for them. So I think it is a good fit for ministry. In the case of the pastor in Pasadena who runs the big organization, his name is Pastor Cheon, and you've probably seen him on that presentation. He is the head of HIM, Harvest International Ministry, and they're sort of a covering organization for several thousand individual churches and ministries all over the world. Practically on every continent, and so they've got a huge outreach, and I have a lot of great connection, and they're basically looking for the same thing. I'm actually on their board, so I know a lot about their ministry, and one of the biggest challenges is how do you raise enough money, particularly in this day and age, to meet the growing needs of the ministries that they have and their outreaches all over the world. One of the big strategic outreaches of HIM was children's ministry, taking care of orphans. And, of course, malnutrition fits right in there because you're taking care of the needs of the most vulnerable children. And so when Pastor Cheon saw what we were doing, and of course, he knew who I was, and he's been taking our product for years, but never really considered it as a fundraiser because, you know, just the basic concept of doing a network marketing business in your church just for the fact of raising money didn't seem legitimate enough. And every church has been hit at least once or twice or a dozen times with people coming in wanting to raise money by basically doing a network marketing venture. And the attitude that a lot of people in ministry has is you're trying to use our people for your gain. And yes, we get a little piece of it, but this is all about what you get out of it, not what we get out of it. And that's kind of the prevailing attitude that exists out there, I think, in a lot of cases. And sort of what changes that conversation is the Give for Real program, the fact that we can, again, bring this full circle by providing their people with something of value that they can't get anyplace else. We can not only create a sustainable funding mechanism for them, but we can also meet the needs of kids all over the world, which is an extension, again, of almost everybody's outreach from a missions perspective. So I think it definitely was the determining factor in Cheon deciding that, you know, and seeing for the first time through all that age-old perspective of don't combine business with ministry. It's like, well, why not? I mean, there is more money in the marketplace for ministry than any place else, and you might as well tap into it. So, but again, it took the Give for Real program for him to actually connect all those dots. I will tell you this, that from my experience, if you're approaching not-for-profits and you're talking and you want to really pursue that, one very critical fact is that the person that you're talking to, the head of the ministry, the director of the not-for-profit, has to be completely sold out on this concept. If they're, you can't stand up in front of their group and tell them to do anything. The head of the organization can, if it's a church or a ministry or a not-for-profit, can say, listen, guys, we have looked at all the options out there. We believe that this is the best exchange of value with our supporters of anything that we've ever seen. It can provides a product that addresses a legitimate need in your life. In many cases, it's just an alternative to something that you're already spending money on, which is supplementation. But everybody has a problem with getting adequate nutrition, with the food supply that has been so corrupted. Everybody benefits from better nutrition with their health. It links directly to the needs of children, and it can create a sustainable funding mechanism. The second thing they need to understand is not only do they have to be the champion of this cause, you have to be able to explain to them why they need you. You know, most of them don't have the time to go out and pursue building an organization. That's your part. Your presentation to them is this is what we make available, but we actually come in and support your organization in getting this up and running and making it happen. The company pays us independently of what they pay you to actually drive this activity, to do the presentations, to do the follow-up with meeting with people and showing them how they get the product, how they can actually get it free, how to do the business if they have an interest in that, or the organization allows you to do that, that you get a team of people that come and do this for you. The church in California could not have succeeded at all without Wendy Kramer and Kathy Jackson and the team that they put together out there, Priscilla and their group, and Richard, actually being there the night that we made the presentation, receiving the cards that came in that night, processing those, putting the orders in, meeting with the people who wanted to find out how to do the business or who wanted their products free. So that's a key role, is that you have to tell them that, listen, we put together the team that will initiate this, do the follow-through, and make sure that it's successful. The second thing they need to know is that, because sometimes the question will come up, well, now why would I want one of my supporters to buy $100 worth of product so that I can make $20 when I could just get their $100? in the form of a donation. Well, you're thinking of the old charity model where everything comes through addition, right? I'll ask a group of people and I'll see who will give, and I'll ask another group and we'll add that on. And what this program does, either way, either through the business or through the for free program, is that your group will take, or your support organization will take this project into the marketplace with our help. Let's start with the for free program. Any consumer knows other people that could benefit from our product, and if they are willing to just host a party or do a one-on-one or come to a place, a designated place, maybe it's the church itself, bring people with them and say, listen, we're showing people how to do an extreme food makeover, change the quality of their life, help raise money for our organization, and meet the needs of children all over the world. Whatever that presentation turns out to be, that moves the donation base out into the marketplace. And, of course, those new consumers that come on have the same opportunity of sharing with others, and that's what our team, the Manatech team, will do, is follow up and continually pursue the ability of helping people get their products free or do the business. And that's what moves the donor base out into the marketplace. So, for instance, if you had four people that took product, that they got their products free, you would actually be making more money than getting $100 from those four people. And not only that, you got 16 new consumers out there that are eligible to get their products free also by sharing or referring this program to other people they know. So they really need to understand the power of multiplication and how we have set it up to facilitate that. And the fact that it's not their job to do the multiplication, that's what we do, and that's how we support them. The other thing that you'll run into is that you have to make sure that they understand there is an option. There's still some people that are very squeamish on the networking approach that generally has something to do with some past experience that either they've had or they've heard about, where it divides their church, where people got greedy, where organizations came in and raped and pillaged and then left, or whatever the issues were. Built the false expectation of things to come that had no chance of occurring. All those issues have created this environment of, oh, we don't want that going on in our church. So they need to know that there's two options, and I do that on the 20-minute video, but you need to reinforce that if you're talking to them. If they bring up, we don't allow network marketing or we don't want that in our church, just say, fine. That's why we have the Consumer Direct Program, which is called our for-free program. If you don't want anybody having any access to the money-making side of this thing, there's actually two programs. There's the for-free program where nobody makes money, but everybody wants their product free, and that's their incentive for sharing it with others. And again, we put a team together that can help facilitate that. So if you don't want the people in your organization to find out about the business opportunity, you want them participating, or you don't want as a church organization or a ministry to be promoting that, that's fine. Let's start with option A, which is just the pure consumer program. And through the consumer program, we will work the referral program and help get people their products free, and that's what will expand it into the marketplace. Not everybody's like that. Obviously, at the church in Kiev and the church organization out of Los Angeles and Pasadena, neither one of them were offended by the opportunity that we could provide the people in their organization. In fact, both of them welcomed it. A little different in both cases. In Kiev, that was sort of their main thrust, is we want everybody working the business. You know, we're not even open in the Ukraine yet, but because of their outreach throughout Europe, they turned the program on a little over a month ago. They became presidentials in that organization in their very first 30 days. I mean, that's the kind of impact they had just in the outreach outside of their own country. They think that they will have their top position as a platinum by September. And as soon as the Ukraine opens, they're hoping to create five platinum positions through the organization that has already willingly stepped up to the plate and said, we want to participate with our church organization in this venture. So, you know, I mean, that's the best case scenario. In the case of Che, he was since he was making the presentation in his church, he was very careful about that. He didn't deny the fact that there was a financial opportunity available. In fact, he mentioned it. He said, we're not here to push that, but if you want to find out, just check that box and the people from Manatech will talk to you about that. He did say, listen, people are desperately looking for new sources of income in the economy today. You know, people come up during our prayer services and they ask for healing. They ask for breakthrough on their finances, and this could be the answer to your prayer. We're not telling you to do that, not even asking you that. We're just saying that's available, and that's an option you could consider. They made more of a play for everybody should be consuming this product, and because everybody needs it. And when you take it, we get to meet the needs of a child, and that's an important thing for us. It also creates a revenue stream for our organization. So they were a little more in the middle. Some organizations may be a little even more conservative than that, not even want you to talk at all about the opportunity, just the idea of consuming product that brings value into the lives of the people supporting their organization, and in exchange for that, helps meet the needs of kids all over the world and creates a new funding source. So I think we'll find anything and everything out there. This is brand new territory for us and for them. There's never been a really good organized marketplace venture for the church community, and I'm not saying that they haven't dealt in networking and things like that in the past, but we're putting together a new model, I think, that will revolutionize fundraising and not-for-profits, because it really does bring the potential of tapping into the marketplace. It's kind of interesting when I read the books on social entrepreneurship. One of the things that was very strategic about social entrepreneurship is tap into the passion the public feels for your cause and find a new way of meeting their needs financially. In other words, finding creative new ways of compensating them instead of it being not only the old charity model, the old not-for-profit model where everybody had to volunteer their time because they didn't have money to pay anybody. And people were willing to do that because they were passionate about their cause. But they were saying, listen, if you can find a model that actually compensates this volunteer army, oh my gosh, you can drive your campaign to the ends of the earth. And that's what we're bringing these not-for-profits and these ministries is the ability to leverage their support organization into a marketplace venture activity that can drive this fundraising mechanism out into the marketplace. And we've got every key ingredient to make that work appropriately. When I read the article in Inc. magazine last year in November, the cover story was Six Ways to Change the World, A Practical Guide to Social Entrepreneurship. It talked about the fact that social entrepreneurship is now moving into the not-for-profit arena and that it should, and that the marketplace provides a tremendous opportunity, you know, for raising funds. They talked about 70% of the total money that came into 501c3s in 2008, and that's like, I forget what it was, $6 billion or something, 7% of that, 70% of that came in through the sale of goods and services. And a lot of times that's tapes and books and, you know, things like that. But there's already a precedent set out there for raising funds through the sale of goods and services. And another part of that article said that the best case scenario for social entrepreneurship is that the product being sold is the trigger for social change. In other words, we're not selling M&Ms so that we can raise money to fight global malnutrition. The product itself would not trigger the social change. It contributes to the problem that we're trying to solve. And so it is the product that we sell and have created that it triggers the social change that is necessary to create the funding so that you can expand that all over the world, even in places where they couldn't afford the product unless you provided it. So we really truly do have all the components that are necessary to create a considerable paradigm shift in the not-for-profit industry. And, you know, linking this whole not-for-profit industry with social entrepreneurship connected to the distribution model of networking is just an unprecedented opportunity. But, you know, we got a ways to go. We're going to find our way through this minefield of objections and past experiences and prejudice, bias, whatever exists out there, because it is a paradigm shift. Here's what will be in our corner is success. The first two organizations that have really decided to do this are both very aggressive and are succeeding. The group out of California became an executive in their first 30 days, as well as they had two other national and a regional position underneath them. So already thousands of dollars a month are going to both organizations, and both of them are intent on using this as their key strategy for fundraising, you know, in the future. And so you'll start to see platinum organizations come out of this. Another question that is asked is, how should you actually structure these organizations in our program in Manitech? And it depends on the size of the organization. In Kiev, because they have so many independent churches that operate within their organization, they put together an organization of 20 key positions at the top, 1, 4, 16. And these were a combination of their organization they set up specifically to do this. So in other words, they didn't sign up the church. They signed up an organization that they created on purpose to do this business. And the proceeds from this organization go directly to their ministries. They also put some very key individuals within that structure that are going to be overseeing all of this activity. And so they put 20 key positions at the top of their sort of marketplace venture. And then that's where they built underneath those 20 positions, or that's where they are building. And if it were evenly distributed, 10,000 consumers, you know, at the bottom of those 16, let's say each one of those 16, you know, you have the four, you have the one, then the four, then the 16. So below that 16, if each one of those 16 had three strong, evenly distributed legs of consumers, 10,000 consumers would create, or approximately 10,000 consumers, all doing around $100 a month, would create 5 platinum positions at the top and 16 presidential positions on that bottom level. So that's kind of the strategy that they walked into it with, is they knew that they had a response from well over 10,000 people that wanted to participate. And this is before they even made marketplace penetration. This was just basically the group that had agreed to participate with them. So if they structured that in the most advantageous way going in, they can leverage the income that they can get out of it to the max. In the case of the California ministry, it was really a top five. They had a position at the very top, again, a position that they created specifically for this. Below that, they put their four ministry components, their, you know, HIM, their Harvest Rock, their HIM International, their, so in other words, they put a structure of five, and then everything that they're doing out there is coming off of those five positions. In the case of actually some of the independent churches that were associated with that organization, they would come in as a single entity. They don't necessarily have enough exposure or connection in, you know, in their ministry outreach to warrant five positions, say, for instance. If they could create one position and take it to platinum, that would be a dream come true for almost every independent organization. So in those cases, it's important that you not overwhelm them with too much, create one position, build four, maybe initially three, whatever, to four strong legs coming off of that one organization, and your goal originally is to bring it to presidential and ultimately, if you can, to platinum. But again, it just depends upon the size of the organization. I would not try to get too fancy with building a sophisticated organization for an independent church or an independent not-for-profit. You know, they're going to have all they can do to try to build a presidential position out of that one entity. In some cases, if there's a real vision from the pastor or the organization leader themselves, they may want to create a position for themselves or their own family in addition to their organizational position. You know, these are all discussions that you'll have once they have bought into the concept of utilizing this as a fundraising mechanism and something that they're excited about and that they want to pursue. That's basically the front end of this. The back end is that once an organization has decided to do it and they are positioned to do it, then what? If you're in front of a ministry organization where you're meeting like I did in California or like I did in Kiev, I made a presentation at a ministry conference there. I know there might have been 2,000 people at that conference. And I actually spoke and introduced the concept of this new marketplace ministry venture that the church was starting and linking with us and we were partnering on. That's one thing. Sometimes the support organization for not-for-profits is a mailing list or something like that. There's a couple of things that we're doing at Manatech that are very, very critical for this next part. And that is that, and you may have heard this, but if you haven't, I'll tell you, we're creating a Navigate website for every individual associate and or member. So within a day of signing up as a member just to consume the product, you will be notified by Manatech. Thank you for participating in our program. Here is your URL for your own independent Navigate website, which will allow you to participate with us in our for free customer referral program. When you go into that site, and this will not come out, well, the site will be here before ManaQuest, but right now on the site, the only video is the NutriVerus video. And if somebody wants to contact a friend and said, watch this video, and if you'd like to, you know, take this product, you can sign up right there on site and buy the product. And when you do, you'll get this same website and have the same ability to get your product free and help us meet the needs of these kids. And I'm passionate about this. Please consider this. At ManaQuest, we will introduce two new videos. One will be a problem video with a theme of food gone bad. Basically just telling everybody what has happened to our modern-day food supply, what's happened to fruits and vegetables that are grown through commercial farming, what the processed food industry has done, how people have tried to offset the lack of nutrition in their food through supplementation, what synthetic vitamins actually are and what they do. And so it's going to be a pretty short but very compelling video on what industry has done, you know, in the name of profit, to rob us, we the people, of our basic nutritional needs. And so that's video number one. Video number two is, what is the solution? The solution is, join us in this real food revolution that for the first time offers a real food standardized solution to this nutritional deficiency that has been created, you know, by industry. And so industry becomes the bad guy in this scenario because they are. And here's what's a reversal of that. If you listen to what's coming out of the government and you listen to what's coming out of industry, the finger always points back to us. We're not eating right. We're not making the right choices. We're not doing the right things. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how hard you try, industry has made it almost impossible for us, you know, to be properly nourished. both through the commercial farming, the commercial food industry, the dietary supplement industry. It really is a tough gig out there unless you are willing to go completely organic, which is not practical for most families in America. And so we're pointing the finger back through food gone bad to where the problem started. It started with industry out of greed manipulating our food supply for their profit. And so we sort of take the people off the hook and then give them the most effective and socially acceptable, if you will, an economical way to fight back, which is Nutriverse. So those two videos, we're sort of making some adjustments to the current Nutriverse video to make it more appropriate for this particular message. But that's a message that you can send to anybody, even if you're a consumer, say, watch this and tell me what you think. And if you want to join us in this real food revolution and take control of your own life and help us meet the needs of kids, hit the buy button and immediately come in and do that. That creates the opportunity for a true viral, you know, referral program that doesn't require all of us to join in. If we do it simple and compelling enough, we think we can create a viral community out there. The other thing it does is in the case of an organization where we actually have a meeting, we do the meeting like we did in California, and afterwards we meet with a large group of people, we can immediately sign them into the program and say within a day you'll receive a website that will give you the information that is necessary for you to start sharing it with your friends. Now, we'd like to help you with that, but, you know, there'll be an intro video that you can send to anybody that you know. If you're at work tomorrow or the next day and you're putting a little bit of Nutriverse over your salad and people go, what is that? Are you kidding? This is called an extreme food makeover. I'm taking whatever I eat, make it the most nourishing, and at the same time meeting the needs of the kids. Watch this quick, short video. It will tell you what I'm doing. So we don't want people to become the message. We just want them to become the messenger to deliver a compelling message. So anyway, these are tools that we're developing that will roll out at ManaQuest that we believe will make it a lot easier to facilitate. In the case of an online not-for-profit organization where they get a lot of their donor base coming into their website, they can actually create a web presence for this activity, which directly links to their new Mana page. So same thing, we'll have the on their website, they can tell about why they think this is a new important thing to do, why they want everybody, a letter from their executive director or their head pastor or whatever, send out to their donor base and say, please watch this video, please subscribe, please participate. They come in, they see the problem video, they see the solution video, and they see a button that says buy now. It's real simple. They hit the button, put their credit card in, they're off to the races. And then it invites them to participate in the referral program also. So anyway, that's some of the tools that are coming that I think will help us in our ability to show organizations how simple this is to implement and how simple it is to actually penetrate the marketplace with it, because that's really the end game for all of these organizations is to expand their donor base and raise more money than just the standard charity model. I think that is probably about as succinct of a presentation as I can make to you guys today on what we're doing, where we're going. I'm going to turn Giving Changes Everything into a site exclusively for not-for-profits. I'm just waiting for our Nutriverse product to roll out in the international markets, which is happening, you know, third quarter, fourth quarter of this year. Too much of what's on Giving Changes Everything is already translated into other languages, so I'm going to leave that up there for a while. Until I get Nutriverse out there, then I'll make it all a not-for-profit site. So, you know, telling people what to do, giving people scripts, all that kind of stuff, because I think this is going to be a great vertical market for us. Okay, Mary Jo or whoever's on the phone?
It's Lydia. Hey, Sam, thank you very much. Does anybody, do you have a few minutes if anybody has happened? That was a lot of great information. Does anybody have any questions? You could unmute by hitting star 7.
Sam?
Yes.
Hello?
Hey, yeah, this is Gail Davidson.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
So, Sam, it's wonderful to hear all the good things that are going on with the not-for-profits. It's just so exciting. So I'm wondering if you guys could develop a point person at corporate, besides yourself, that we out here in the field that maybe don't have, you know, the larger upline organization that's dialed into this, that we can go and call and strategize and see, you know, if we have one small organization, what's the best way to set them up. A point person who's just so dialed into this whole idea like you are that we could call and would be our person.
Great suggestion, Gail.
I think right now all hands are on deck to try to finish up everything that we're putting together for ManaQuest. Again, at ManaFest, we sort of rolled out the new technologies that we think are the new strategy for penetrating the world, Nutrivirus, you know. And now what's being done is everything is being updated for this new story, including Navigate. The Navigate system, as of ManaQuest, will be basically all geared around what we're doing now. And so there's a lot of deliverables that are coming out. I probably jumped the gun a little bit on the not-for-profit thing as far as corporate was concerned, just because they weren't prepared for it. But I just had too many opportunities coming my way, so, you know, I just pursued it. But I think it's a great idea to have a person, a point person there. I'll talk to them about that. In the meantime, what I'll try to do, Gail, is, I mean, if you guys want to put together like a biweekly call or a monthly call on not-for-profits, have me on going through this kind of information, answering questions, you know, I'll be glad to support it myself for a while until we can do that.
Great.
Yeah, Sam?
Yep.
Yeah, Sam, this is Fred McGilvery from Palm Desert, California. I want to encourage you to on that Giving Changes Everything site to allow us to download the new Food Gone Bad video so we can get it on our desktop and our iPad so that we can go places where we don't have internet connection and just whip out our iPad and, you know, and go when we do one-on-one or small groups.
Yeah, and also the new videos that we're talking about will come in everybody's Welcome Pack to Manatech as a DVD also.
Oh.
So it will become part of doing business with Manatech is you'll receive an extreme food makeover, you know, kit. By the way, and we will clarify this at ManaQuest, extreme food makeover is not an event. It kind of evolved through the event process. It's really more of a strategy. You can do a one-on-one presentation. You can do a hotel meeting presentation. You can do an in-home presentation. So anyway, we will give script and everything in the welcome packs or the associate packs that come out in the future, including a DVD that has, you know, the presentation on Food Gone Bad, the presentation on Nutrivirus, a presentation on your options, you know, of joining Manatech as either a consumer, somebody who wants their product free, and or a business person, and a short presentation on the business itself. How to succeed in the business, which is something we haven't done, and I'm not sure. So all of
that
will be coming out at ManaFest and will be available for anybody to have a DVD to carry around and actually put it. But we'll also be putting it, Fred, on Giving, Changing Everything so people can download it.
Great. Super. Thanks.
Sam, this is Ann from Minnesota.
Hi, Ann.
And hi. This is incredible. What I wondered is, do you have any statistics on what income is being made on these two churches?
Yeah, the first
use at all testimonial.
Well, I just know the structure and the facts. The group in the Ukraine within the first 30 days was making somewhere around $10,000 a month after their first 30 days. And it's because, again, the structure and the number of people that they could bring in. I think they sold 1,200 All-Star packs the first, you know, like 4 weeks within the organization.
So they're generating a sustainable income of around 10 grand a month right now. I think that, and that's after the first 30 days, I think in California, that group will probably be around, I'm going to guess around 2,500 to 3,000 at the end of their first 30 days. But that's not where they're ending up. That's just where they're starting.
Mm-hmm.
And the group in California probably has 50 or maybe more people that I know Wendy and her team are training out there to actually start doing the business. So, you know, they'll be expanding. They're planning on being presidential within the next, you know, 60 to 90 days, along with having, you know, four other positions below that top position. So, you know, they're looking at somewhere around 10 grand a month also within the first 90 days is what their target is. The group out of Kiev, listen, they plan on having their top position be a platinum by September.
Cool.
But that's about 50,000 a month, you know, 40 to 50,000 a month. So that's the only two organizations that I'm directly connected with. You know, there's some other ministry organizations that are offshoots of that that are starting the process and the program. And, you know, a smaller organization should be looking to become an executive as quickly as possible, start earning, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 a month through this program with a goal of getting up to, you know, presidential.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would love to see the testimonials. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Ann.
Sam, Shana Abu Sliman, and what do you suggest when we go into pastors who already have such a heart and soul for orphanages and for children and have set some up in countries such as Haiti, Dominican Republic, Israel even, if they are become very interested in wanting to get the product out to their own orphanages as a way to supply? Do we just hook them up to Man of Relief? What do we do in those situations?
Yeah, in those situations, you need to contact me directly. What I will do, and like in the church in California, I will direct some of the donations directly towards them. What we cannot do is ship product individual orphanages around the world because of the customs issues and all of that. If they have a way of getting product directly to their own their own orphanages, we will ship them product to their church or their foundation and allow them then to redistribute to an orphanage. But that's something that I will handle personally and just kind of talk them through the process and make sure that they can actually handle that. Another option is that churches anywhere have the opportunity still to work our blessing program, which is, you know, they raise the money to buy the product and redistribute themselves anywhere they want to, even in their own, their own community. Sometimes people have feeding programs in the inner city areas of communities they live in. So there's a lot of different options for participation that can be explored if they want to do something outside of our normal distribution.
Great. Thank you.
Sam, this is Joni Meyer from Arizona. Is there any way to track or a place that we can go to track how many children our organization are feeding in any given business period?
You know, the best tracker that we've got right now is really that clicker on the main website that just shows the total number of servings per day that has been donated. It was, last time I looked a week or so ago, it was 39 million. Could be over that now. That clicker will start doubling in terms of its, of how fast it clicks, because we're about to start receiving the international contribution for Gift Real. I mean, I can work on that. Let me work on that and see what I can do.
I think it would be just a real incentive driver for organizations that are really, really passionate about feeding the children to know how many they and their activity are feeding.
Yeah. I could maybe do something on the test track with that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Sure. No, that's a good idea. Thank
Sam?
You.
Yeah. Hey, Sam. Hey, David Thrasher here. I really appreciate what you're doing. I've got my 4-week-old in my arms here just waiting for him to go off. So, quick question.
All
right. Right at the beginning with an organization, and, you know, I've talked with you about a school here in Springfield, but going forward, right at the beginning, is there any schematic, a format, a step-by-step, what to do that anybody that's just brand new to this can go in and say, okay, here's how we get started. Here's how we approach them. Here's what they need in place. Here's what some of the roadblocks are or some of the reasons why they can or can't they get involved. But we know, I mean, I think a lot of us really understand how the program works and all of that. And we need to stay tuned with that and everything. But right up front at the beginning, I don't see where there's a 1 or 2 page deal online where we can say, hey, here's what you do to get started. Here's what their obligation is. Here's what it's going to cost them and all of that.
Yeah. Now, there's not right now, David. And part of that is because we're in the process of inventing this as we speak. You know, this is a real work in progress right now. And so basically what I put on Giving Changes Everything is just an intro that somebody could sit down with the pastor and say, watch this and tell me if you have some level of interest. Past that point, it's going to be pretty much what you're asking for is something that is needed. But I don't know if you have... I don't know that I have enough information to really build that yet, but we're putting it together to experience. As soon as we, and again, what happens at Manic Quest changes everything in terms of the viral nature of how this thing works.
Yeah.
And so,
but what about
also part of the presentation? It's a much different presentation to a pastor than what we've got right now. So. Anyway, we'll put all that together, David, as we move through the fall after ManaQuest. I'll start working specifically. And again, what I'd like to do is set Giving Changes Everything up as the site to go to for A to Z, your not-for-profit activity. Scripts, testimonies, what's going on out there, everything that we can possibly put in terms of not-for-profits on that site.
Well, like, for instance, you know, when a person signs up or signs themselves up to start, and then you do the 4, 16, 20 as the organization, where I get lost in there is, like with the church in California, did he just sign up himself, or did he create a name for the top one position? Was it under the church name, or was it as a separate brand new not-for-profit organization he set up, and if so, how do you do that?
Yeah, I'll,
that's
I'll,
the kind
I'll,
of stuff.
I mean, just to answer your question, he set up a separate organization. It is not a not-for-profit. He has
named it something, right?
He named it Joseph Company or Joseph's Store.
Okay.
And that's what he put at the top. And it is a for-profit entity. And he will pay tax on the money that comes into it, but he's using it as his core strategy for doing everything that they do to fund their missions program. So, you know, they'll end up having lots of... Anyway, I'll work on all that. I don't know enough about how every organization could possibly do it. I'm also looking at a lot of IRS regulations on how you can money, what is considered related, what is considered unrelated income to the ministry. Those are taxed two different ways. So, you know, hey, this is a work in progress. We'll get it all done as quickly as we can. But thanks,
Well, not having ever done anything like that, and we're doing a fair here in Springfield. Those are Empire Fair starting Friday, and we're hoping to attract some. And I just kind of wanted to know a little bit without sounding like I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I would start with maybe a closed loop video of what I did on Giving Changes Everything, the presentation to not-for-profits. The Nutriverse video is very good because it shows them exactly what the product is.
I got that one. I had that hit it for me.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I'd start with and see what kind of response you get.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sam. Sure appreciate it.
Well, Sam, it's
okay,
Lydia. Thanks very much for your time. We appreciate the call. And I will guys, I'll have this posted on the website this afternoon for you guys all. And you guys all have a great week. Next week, Kevin Robbins will be on the call. This is share a lot of great things happening with Manatech from his point of view. So you guys all have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Lydia.
Thanks, Lydia.
Yep, bye.